Hello, I'm Richard from Play It Green. Today, we're really excited to support the Hospitality Playbook podcast. Play It Green provides a unique sustainability initiative that is free to hospitality operators, where you simply add a removable £1 to each bill. For that pound, we'll plant not one, but two trees and give 10p back to a charity of your choice. And in return, we'll educate your whole team on sustainability and provide you with guidance, resources, and a network of sustainable hospitality solutions and services. We'll help you build robust ESG credentials. The result is increased consumer loyalty. Ready to embark on this journey towards climate-positive hospitality? Click the link in the show notes to find out more.
Being here, lovely to meet you, mate.
Lee, I'm excited to be here.
So this is something which this whole topic, and we're going to actually be recording a few podcasts here, and we're going to spread them out over a couple of months, which is really exciting. But this whole topic of inventory control is not something that I know too much about, so I'm going to do my best to ask lots of stupid questions here, and we'll see where we go.
I'll try not to give too many stupid answers.
Just before we get into it, can you give us sort of 60 seconds on who you are, what your business is, and I guess why this topic is important to you in general?
Yeah, look, I'm an ex-operator. I spent about a decade in the industry, and now I'm CEO over at ClearCox, where we're working to thoughtfully implement AI technology into restaurant operations so that, you know, you can spend less time managing the metrics and more time delighting your customers. And, you know, we talk about why I'm here today. I love today's topic. As our name implies, we're all about food cost, cost of goods sold. I spent a lot of time working with it. And, you know, the tie-in there is, you know, at ClearCox, we're taking all of that data you have that's often overlooked data and turning it into a daily cheat sheet that, you know, gives you the numbers in advance that if you follow, you're going to have better food costs. It's actionable things like what to order, what to prep, who to staff. You know, also that, you know, you can have a more efficient, smooth running and profitable restaurant.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Okay. So I know from speaking to some of our customers that a lot of people don't have a super clear grip on COGS, which is the whole reason why you exist, right? Now, this particular, and even people who do, they haven't necessarily got the grip that they think they've got when it comes to actual versus theoretical. So I think for a lot of people, theoretical is obviously the first step, isn't it? But then they don't go the extra mile into the actual.
Yeah.
So let's take 5 minutes. I want you to sort of define this for me. What are we actually talking about here? What is actual versus theoretical? And then I want you to expand on that and say, why should you care about tracking both?
Well, let's take it from the top. So when we're talking about actual and theoretical, we're talking about food costs, your cost of goods sold. And, you know, as you all probably know, it's literally just how many dollars of sales do I have, you know, divided by how much did I spend on lettuce today or my food in general. And so forever, food costs were almost like an accounting function where at the end of the month, I'd see how much I ordered and I saw how much I sold. And that's my food cost. But that was kind of problematic because, you know, really two reasons. One, my inventory is fluctuating all the time. So, you know, if you've ever had a manager that wants to hit their food cost goal, you know, they're very likely to inventory things differently to make sure that they hit it. And, you know, the second one is this. I'm only finding out, you know, 6 weeks later after the period's ended, what my food costs are. And I have no idea what they should have been. So they came up with this, you know, back of house software inventory management solutions where, you know, now all of a sudden you are able to map out your menu, take inventory and get what my food costs are each week and also what my food costs should have been. And so what they are is my actuals and what they should have been are my theoreticals. So that's kind of how that got all set up there. And that's kind of where we're at today.
Mm. So what common problems would you see with restaurants besides the obvious if they're not tracking both of these? Like what tends to happen?
Yeah, so you just have no idea. So like, let's say I've got Wampler's waffles, right? And I get my food cost in every week and they're 30%. I feel like I'm doing a great job. And then I get them down to 29% and I'm like, yay. Well, I don't know whether they should be 29 or whether they should be 22. So a lot of times when you bring in and you get those actuals and theoreticals, you go, oh, wow, I shouldn't have been celebrating that 29% because it should have been 22. Or as we found out in, you know, one of our restaurants, which was a campus location, we used a whole lot more meat than, you know, some of the other locations. So we found out pretty quickly, oh, it had a higher theoretical food cost. It wasn't they were doing a bad job managing it. It was the fact that it was naturally higher because I had a different product mix in my sales.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. So it's almost like it's impossible to know if you're doing well or not if you're not tracking these. Like, what does good look like?
Yeah, what's good look like? And, you know, where the rubber really meets the road is this. You're at Wampler Waffles and you figure out that I've got a 29% food cost and it should have been 22. You know, one of the things that you often hear about are variance reports, which is a fancy way of saying it's looking at all of the different items and what the actuals and theoreticals are. And, you know, oftentimes you find that it's, oh, I'm using, you know, 40 pounds of bacon more than I should be. And it's often some kid you hired that's putting on 4 strips instead of 2. You know, it's not like I got to change my whole operation. It's just awareness of a problem.
Yeah. Okay. So let's assume we've got 2 types of people who are listening to this. Perhaps we've got people who are either starting a business from scratch and they're not actually, they haven't done any of this work yet. Or we've got some people who maybe have got some theoreticals, what they would actually like to achieve with their food costs. How can these people start to think about putting processes in to get actuals as well?
Yeah. So look, getting a good back of house system makes a huge difference. So choosing the right provider there and setting it up, it's one of those things that does take time. There are companies like Cogswell that do a good job of making that a more quick process that's a little less of a lift. But yeah, you are going to have to dedicate some time to getting these things set up. But once they're set up, you know, it's a one-time thing. It can be life-changing for your operation. And my 2 pieces of advice are this. One, don't be scared of it. So no one wants to share their actuals and theoreticals. It's just they all have a horrible gap. You know, the dirty secret is it's, you know, 2 to 6 percentage points for most restaurants. Don't be ashamed of it. You know, embrace it. Don't be in fear. You know, knowledge is power.
Yeah. So take me through the steps, though. I want you to really drill it down for me. So how would somebody actually, you know, let's assume you've got a new restaurant. How would they actually go about coming up with these numbers of actual and theoretical?
Yeah, it's very simple. And I'll give this simple explanation and then I'll give all of the problems with it and you know, kind of the red flags. But really all you're doing is you're getting on and saying, when I hit this button on my POS, the number one combo, you know, this is what the recipe is and how much, you know, how many burger patties I'm using in buns so that I can then go calculate how many I used for the week. It's really, really that simple. So you're going out and you're mapping all of that out. The next thing you're doing is you're going to have to do inventory. Nobody likes inventory. It's one of those horrible things. But, you know, you got to do inventory once a week because you probably have thousands of dollars of fluctuation in inventory. By setting up the menu and putting those recipes in, you're able to get the theoretical food cost. By doing the inventory and putting your invoices in, you're able to get the actual food costs. That's the simple setup.
Okay. So really approaching this from like a dummy's guide then. So use your example of I've got a burger on my menu. I know that I'm going to put 2 patties on there because I'm going to be greedy. I've got some, you know, lettuce, some sauces, et cetera, et cetera. But I should have, for each of my menu items, I should have an ingredients list. That's the very first step, which I know some people don't do.
Yeah, a lot of people. Sure. but I do want to say this. The numbers are not the truth. So the more you dig into actuals and theoreticals, there are so many different ways to game the system and to get incorrect numbers. So I use it as a benchmark, a guiding light, and not necessarily the source of truth. Because, you know, when I miscount inventory, that's going to all of a sudden affect what my actuals and theoreticals are. There's nothing wrong with the operation. I just, you know, counted it incorrectly. You know, if I've got brisket, I'm buying brisket by, you know, like, let's call it like a 20-pound slab. Well, you know, purchase is going to show that I brought in 20 pounds of brisket. But when I go sell it, you know, there is trim that I'm losing. I've got yield loss when I'm smoking it. And then, you know, the customer may only get served 14 pounds of it. So it's going to show that there's a 6-pound gap there. And, you know, there are ways to address that and put it into a back-house system, which then just kind of further games out, you know, ways of, you know, getting around these numbers. But, you know, in essence, if you can just start getting into the routine and seeing the numbers week after week, you'll be able to see the big fluctuations.
Yeah, okay. I get that, yeah. So I guess the theoretical is kind of a bit of a, not a moving target. It's something that you would constantly improve as you understand your processes better. Like your example is perfect. If I've got 20 pounds of brisket, but I'm somehow missing 6, there could be a whole host of reasons that I need to drill down to find out.
I mean, the real example is this. I put on a new menu item that's got a higher, you know, food cost to it. And we sell a bunch of it. Now my food costs go up this next week. Well, my theoreticals are going to go up, which is great, right? Like that benchmark's going to move up. And my actuals are going to move up. And I now know that they moved up for that reason and not for the fact that, you know, we're doing something incorrect in the operations.
Yeah. Okay. I see. So is there, I mean, I guess it's that piece of understanding the variance, which is probably the most intimidating out of this whole thing. Because anyone, if they had the time, can sit down and go through the ingredients and write those out. You know, anybody, even though they don't want to, can do the inventory at the end of the week, like you said. It's the, I guess the real skill in this is breaking down that variance, isn't it?
Yes and no. I mean, look, restaurants, it's people and you're managing people. And like the people that are working there every day often know the answers to a lot of these things, whether they share them or not. So oftentimes it's just even making it aware that, oh, we're missing a bunch of bags of chips every week. Does anybody know why? Well, you know, somebody may have a reason like, oh, we keep dropping them in their opening. Or they don't have a reason and it's because they're stealing them. And now they're aware that you're aware. And so they're going to do less of it. So a lot of times it's just talking to the staff. Let them know, you know, hey, does anybody know why this is going on? And you get 80% of the way there.
Yeah, I love that. So nobody knows the job better than the people who are doing the job, right?
Amen.
I love that. So are there any other sort of tips and tricks and things that maybe people should be thinking about if they're going to start implementing this for the first time?
Again, just going back to trusting the numbers, there are lots of ways to game this. Like we use the inventory example of, you know, just I miscount inventory the last week of the month and therefore my food costs look about a little bit better and I make my bonus. You know, there are things like, you know, when I'm getting orders in from my suppliers and they say I got 25 pounds of tomatoes, but they only gave me 20, you know, it may not be an operational issue. So don't get mad at your staff. You know, you go into that yield loss and, you know, mapping all of this correctly. There's a lot of ways that these numbers can be wrong, but that's not a reason not to use them. It's just one of those things that you need to know. It's not the sole, you know, arbiter of truth. Don't go around pointing fingers at everybody in the, you know, the operation that it's their fault. But, you know, if you're doing it consistently, even if there are those issues with inventory and orders and all that stuff, you'll be able to see it over time. Right. So just being consistent is huge.
Yeah. I was going to ask, actually, how long would you like to see this played out before you got a real understanding of what a consistent variance looks like?
I like about 4 weeks. You know, inventory is always wrong. So you're seeing bounce backs from those. So you're kind of averaging it out. But I mean, oftentimes you'll get a variance report, even if it's after 2 or 3 weeks, and you'll see, wow, I'm missing 400 bags of chips and I counted them 3 times. And I know the inventory is right. Like that's something you can pretty clearly point to. I've got a chip problem. You can see I was in the sandwich business. It's all lettuce, tomato, chips.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess the threshold when somebody should get worried is different for every business, right? Because that was going to be my next question. It was going to be, well, what number of variants should I start to delve deeper immediately or panic? But I guess that's kind of different for everyone, isn't it?
Yeah, well, and I kind of go into the gaming things. I talk to restaurants that are like, oh, we only have half a percentage point variance. I'm like, I'm just not buying that. You know, that's very difficult to do. They're probably baking in the fact that they're losing things along the way. But no, look, if you can get it under 2%, you're doing a really good job. Most okay. people we see is more like the 3 to 5%. It's very much dependent on the concept and, you know, what they're doing. But yeah, if you can get sub 2%, you're doing great. Sub 1%, you're an all-star. Brilliant. Under half a percent, you're probably gaming the system.
You're probably lying.
Yeah. You need to go really do an audit of your operation and your management team if you're getting like below half a percent.
Yeah. Okay, super. Have you got any examples of people who you've seen this do particularly well? Maybe some customers or somebody who you used to work for?
Well, first off, I love one of your prior guests, Troy Hooper over at Pepperlunch, because some of these concepts, you know, in there having a hot plate where I'm putting the raw ingredients on, all of a sudden, I don't really have a lot of waste. I've got a very manageable, you know, they probably do have incredibly good food cost and very tight variance. So I think that the nature of the concept makes a big difference. And then, you know, I give a shout out to Cogswell as well. I think they are one of the best in the business as far as being able to onboard people and, you know, make this something that it's worth putting the time into because you're getting more out of it than, you know, the time you put in, which isn't always the case. And then, you know, there's often percentage points that you can gain. You know, customers that we work with tend to see a 50% decrease in that variance. So if you get a 3 percentage point gap, we're adding 1.5% to the bottom line. And, you know, for restaurants that have, you know, low profit margins, single digits, that's often, you know, life changing.
Yeah, 100%. Especially when, you know, a lot of these places are running on really small margins, aren't they? So a couple of percent is a big deal.
Yeah, very much so.
Brilliant. Well, let's leave it there because I love how snappy that was. That was brilliant. So for the listener, we're going to put Matt's details into the show notes. So we'll put your LinkedIn bio in there and your company information as well. So if anyone's got any more information, please reach out to Matt. And from me, it was brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Liam.